Bibles with me today to the book of St. Mark chapter 1. St. Mark chapter number 1. I'm trying to share something with you today that I just feel led of the Lord to do so, in which all preaching ought to be led of the Lord to do so. And when you've been hearing messages like we heard at camp meeting and things, you kind of want to get a hold of something that'll, you know, get you up in the clouds somewhere. But that's probably not where we're going today, but I believe that if we get the Word of God, it'll help us. Amen. If we get the Word of God, it'll help us. And that's what we need, is the Word of God. So, and not all the preaching's good, but all the service is not camp meeting. Sometimes you just have to pull up a little bit and say, here we are. We're in church and we come to hear what God has to say. And so that's what we're going to try to do today. And I pray you'd help us by praying for us and get in the service with us as much as you possibly can. And preaching that we might share, that we may share that which God would have us to share. And then I was thinking about what I was going to preach and trying to pray about that this week, and I could not get away from the fact that we're going to baptize. I mentioned a while ago about years ago baptizing at the river, at the creek, wherever, and how people would come. The ladies, many of them would shout praises unto God when somebody got baptized. It was exciting. It wasn't just the fact you came and you went through a form and ducked somebody in the water and come up. It meant something. It meant something. And I believe it still does. I believe it still does. I believe baptism is still an important thing. Baptism does not save anyone. Baptism is not for salvation. It is only for those who are saved. It's only one's a candidate for real baptism. But in the New Testament, we find three baptisms. And I'm going to talk about those today and pray that God will help us. And I'm trying this morning, if the Lord will lead us and help us do so, get two of those and come back tonight and try to finish up on the third one. And I'm talking about the baptism, John's baptism, Jesus Christ himself baptism, and then believer's baptism. And you say, preacher, why would you preach those? Because they're in the Word of God. And because they're all important, have their place in building us up to this thing of Christian baptism that we're going to be doing tonight. And I pray that God would help us. And everyone has its place. Each one is uniquely different in certain areas. So I pray today that God would help us with that. And also I hope to be able to maybe answer some questions. I hope I don't bring any up, but maybe answer some that will help you. And if any other questions come up, that you'll search it out in Scripture, and that we may try to help in understanding of some that sometimes there's much misunderstanding about. And so what I just said, I don't know if it made any sense or not, but that's what I'm going to try to do. Amen. Somebody said, y'all tell them what you're going to tell them. Then y'all tell them and tell them that you told them. So I'm trying to tell you what I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to try to tell you now. Let's stand to our feet while we read the Word of God. Mark chapter 1, verse number 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, we pray in Jesus' name now that you'd help us, Lord, today that we may take the Word of God. And I pray, preach like you want us to preach. I ask for that divine touch. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost be upon us, and Lord, that you'd help us to think like we ought to think and be able to say what we ought to say. And I pray the Holy Spirit take that Word of God and speak to hearts today, bring conviction. I draw us all closer challenge our hearts, encourage discouraged hearts. And Father, I pray Jesus just be exalted and lifted. And Father, surely today as we think about this thing of baptism, I pray the reality and the power of thy word may work in hearts, and that all of us may find help and encouragement and strength through this, and we'll praise you for it. Now, Lord, as we stand here in this pulpit today, we recognize the fact that the devil and all the imps of hell will work against the preaching of the word of God. I plead the blood. I ask in Jesus' name, God, the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I plead that blood and I plead the victory in Jesus and confess a devil defeated and Jesus Christ is victor. Thank you, Lord, for the conqueror from Calvary. And I pray today he be exalted and magnified. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you. And I pray throughout this day it would magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's in his name and for his glory that we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we think about baptism and talking about this, what the Bible has to say about John's baptism, we'll talk about John's first of all and deal with that. And I don't know that I'll answer all questions that you may have, but I'll at least try to tell you what God says here in his word the best I can and try to share with you some thoughts that God has laid upon my heart concerning this as we think about the baptism of John. John's baptism is not the same as Christian baptism after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did baptize. He did come forth. He is a messenger sent from God. And I want you to know notice what it said here in the word of God. In verse number 3, it said the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare. In verse number 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And then in I skipped verse 2. Let me back up to it. And he said, there shall prepare the way before thee. Verse 3, prepare. Now here's a preparation. You might say a preparatory baptism that he had. He came preparing the way. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We'll talk about that a little bit. But notice verse 4. Preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And verse number 5. And the very latter part of that verse says, we're all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. I believe we can park right there and preach for a few minutes about repentance and confessing sins. We're living in a generation that all they want to hear is the positive thing. And Jesus, and that's good. Jesus does say, and his grace is sufficient. And it's all by grace through faith. It's not in works, lest any man should boast. And we're all saved by that. But you hear very little said about real repentance. And there's no repentance, there's no real forgiveness of sin. And today, repentance is a change of mind. But it's not only a change of mind about sin, about God, it's a turning from sin to God. If there's no turning from sin to God, there's really no repentance. Amen. And we have a generation today that's come up with this idea that you just repeat the verse or you repeat a prayer and you just say it with your lips and have a head knowledge about it and you're saved. Well, that sounds good and it's an easy way, but that's not what the Bible says. And Bible teaches true repentance and true faith. The other side of that coin is true repentance. And so if you've never really repented, you never really got saved. And John the Baptist came out here preaching one day, and some of them came out to be baptized of him, and he looked at them, called them a generation of vipers, and said, who've warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. He was saying, if you're going to be baptized, you ought to repent. And you ought to really repent and turn from sin and let God do a work in your heart. And so he was preaching that and said, confess and sin. How long has it been since you heard anybody confess they've ever sinned? I mean really confessing sin. Now we say we sinned and we sing about it and that's well and good and I praise God for it. But I mean talking about getting under real conviction about sin and saying, I've sinned and I need some help. Apostle Peter, that night when Jesus looked at him, he didn't go out and say, well, I messed up a little bit, Lord. I got to do better. He went out and wept bitterly before God and repented. And I say we still need some real true weeping over sin and seeing sin as exceedingly sinful and realizing that sin is sin and that a holy God that we serve hates sin. And we still need repentance about sin, turning from it, and confession and getting it right with God. I'm not talking about getting up before church and just hanging out all your dirty laundry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about confessing sin. If it's a public sin, it'll be confessed publicly. Amen. If it's something private, keep it private. But get it right with God. Repent and get it right with God. I believe we can have real revival if people start repenting. And I like what Brother Billy Mitchell says about repentance. How you know you're really repenting? Because you keep on repenting. Yes, yeah. Amen. If you don't keep on repenting, you never repented to start with. Because if you ever really repent, then sin bothers you and you keep on repenting of it. Amen. Sin don't bother you. You never got saved to start with. If you got saved, it bothers you and you repented and you keep on repenting and you keep on repenting. And God keeps on forgiving. Amen. I'm glad for the reality of that. And here's John the Baptist. He comes out. And he's preaching, prepare the way, getting ready for the coming of the Savior. He said, shoot, latchet, he wasn't worthy to unloose. But he said this, said, prepare the way. But he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And he was preaching that and said, confessing sin. They was repenting. They was confessing their sin. And I'd see them on the banks of Jordan now, lined up waiting for John to baptize them. And they were repenting and weeping and saying, I've sinned. I'm guilty. Before God, I'm guilty. And maybe confessing what it was publicly they'd done. And they come to John, and John was baptizing them. And they were making their public profession that they believed in God and that they publicly repented and confessed that before God. Turn with me in the book of Acts, chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18. I want you to follow with me in this. Acts chapter 18, then we're going to look at some things in chapter 19 that a lot of people have questions about, but we'll endeavor to answer some of that. Now remember, John is that prophet that came in between the Old and the New Testaments, and he is one preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. He has come preaching repentance, and he has come now, and he stepped on the scene, and many were baptized. Many came and followed him in baptism. In Acts chapter 18, verse number 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. And that sounds like a good man, doesn't it? Mighty in scriptures. He knew the Old Testament, eloquent man. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. He had been instructed in the Old Testament way. He'd been instructed. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now he knew the baptism of John, but there's something lacking now. And they said they took him aside and began to expound to him more perfectly. In other words, fully expounding to him, help him to understand about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying. Now he'd been well schooled in the scriptures. He was an eloquent speaker, and Apollos we know was that man that could speak eloquently, and God mightily used him as a preacher of the word of God, but here he knew only the baptism of John, something missing. And so he came and they expounded to him more perfectly. Now look at chapter 19 of the book of Acts. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard where there be any Holy Ghost. He said, have you received since you believed? He said, we haven't even heard. He said unto them, What then were you baptized? He didn't know anything about any discipleship without being baptized. If there wasn't any baptism, he didn't think they'd fallen anything. Had to be some kind of a baptism. He said, what were you baptized into? And he asked them that question. There seemed to be some real importance on baptism. Now let me say this and plug us in. I'm going to run this rabbit a minute. Amen. But baptism never saved anybody in the Old Testament nor the New Testament. And today, I don't care what church somebody, I've asked many folk, are you saved? I was baptized as a baby. Well, that, they may have that hope in their own mind, but they didn't get baptized as a baby. You can't baptize a baby. Well, preacher, why can't you baptize a baby? Because a baby can't get saved. Why can't a baby get saved? Because a baby's not lost. Nobody ever got saved until they got lost. And you got to get lost first. And little baby, they're not capable of realizing they're a sinner and capable of getting saved. And therefore, you couldn't baptize one. I don't care how many times you dipped him or poured it on or sprinkled it on him, whatever you did to him. It never saved anybody. Amen. And so we must realize the fact. Here John said, what then were you baptized? He asked me, they knew they'd been baptized somehow. He wanted to know how they were baptized. What he said to them was, what were you baptized? Then what were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. And so they knew John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. Now he said repentance, as saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. John said, I'm not him, he's coming. And one day John said, that's him. And these men had not heard about the Holy Ghost, but they'd been baptized by John's baptism. He had repented, they had called on God and got baptized, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit living with him. They knew nothing about the Holy Ghost of God. And they were baptized under John's baptism, not baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But verse 5 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. In other words, they went beyond John's baptism. And John was preaching repentance and confessing sin against the Holy God. And by the way, in the Old Testament, they always were looking forward to the cross of Calvary. In the New Testament, we're looking back to the cross of Calvary. But I want you to know John came, he was looking forward to. He said, he's yet to come. He's coming. I'm preparing the way. You repent. And called, these people had. They repented. They called. And John's baptism was real to them. But when they heard about the Holy Ghost, when they heard about Jesus, when they heard that Jesus Christ did it all for them at Calvary, and they heard about that, they wanted to get baptized. Hallelujah. Nobody's ever been baptized until they hear about Jesus Christ, until they know fully the faith is in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. I praise God and thank God for the reality of that. Paul said in the next verse, I'm throwing this in, chasing another rabbit, but I feel like we need to comment on it. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Not these men were about 12 men. Now, he laid his hand on them, they received the Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Tongues is, what tongue do you speak? English? Brother Clark back there speaks two tongues. He's a double tongue fellow. I better be careful there, hadn't I? But he speaks two tongues. He speaks in Spanish. He speaks in English. I understand that he's fluent in Spanish and that he's good at it. And, of course, his wife is telling that. You got to take that with a grain of salt. No, I believe what she said. I'm kidding about that. What I meant, Sister Robin, was wives always brag on their husband. Well, not always, but sometimes. But anyway, Where was I? I'm talking about speaking in tongues. And what he was saying was, now remember the book of Acts. Now I'm throwing this in to help you this morning. The book of Acts is that transitional period. After Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and before the scriptures was completed, we're in the book of Acts in that early church, that baby church, and they're learning things. And in the epistles, Paul's explaining things, and other writers of the epistles, they help the church, and that church is being settled in doctrine and the fundamentals of what to believe. And so you got to remember reading the book of Acts, and don't try to apply that to the completed word of God. Amen. It is the word of God. They didn't have the full revelation. They were not completely prepared for all this. They hadn't gotten that far along, but they had, Jesus had died, buried, rose, and now the church was there, and it's a growing church, and God's helping them. And here they come preaching about the baptism of John. And Paul's explaining the baptism of John under repentance. But he said he told them the ones that come and they believe on him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they heard that, they got baptized. But they didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. And now when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. The very moment you believe, he comes in. And nowhere is God talking about a second work of grace. It wasn't a second work of grace. Holy Spirit comes in and births you in the family of God. Comes in right then, amen. And they spake with languages that they did not know. The tongues that we hear about in the scriptures was a language they spoke that other people spoke. And on the day of Pentecost, and somebody said, oh, if we could have another Pentecost. Can't have another Pentecost. It came 50 days after Passover. And Jesus was the Passover. 50 days later, the Holy Ghost came in power. And the, amen, and the miracle of that day was they were there from all corners of the earth. And the Bible says every man heard them in their own language. What a miracle that was. Peter preaching up there probably in Hebrew. And everybody listening to him heard him in their own language. And 3,000 people got saved. And the day that... now we have moved through the New Testament, has all been completed, it has been pinned down, and we have the Word of God, and people have to go to school and learn languages. And Brother Clark didn't just pray, and God did a miracle and gave him the Spanish language. He had to work at it, he had to learn it, had to apply himself, had to learn to speak Spanish, and he did so and does it well. But I'm saying to you today, we're in a transitional period in here in the book of Acts. I just threw that out, tossed that out to you. Because there's all kinds of movements today that are trying to say, well, if you get the Holy Ghost, you'll do this and you'll do that. I'll tell you what you will do. If the Holy Ghost comes to live in your heart, you'll be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not come to speak of himself. He came to speak about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let's talk about the baptism of Jesus for a minute. Turn with me, please, back in Matthew chapter number 3. We're going to talk about the baptism of Jesus. Baptism of John the Baptist came. That's over with now. And they got further along with that. But when Jesus was baptized, I want to use him because his baptism is unique. His baptism is different from all other baptisms. And so let's read about his. In chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew, and verse number 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, and John unto John to baptize him, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. He said, let it be so. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now Jesus comes to the Jordan River. He comes to be baptized to John. Everybody else coming in, they're repenting of sin. They're confessing their sin. But here comes one. He's not repenting of anything.
He's not confessing any sins because he didn't know sin. In 1 John, I believe, 1 John, I got to jot it down here for somewhere, 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. It says, and you know that he was manifested to take away the sins, but in him was no sin. I got to look at that verse. He was manifested to take away sins. That's S on the end of it, plural. But said in him was no sin. That's singular, no S on it. In other words, he didn't have a single sin, not one. Ain't nothing wrong about him. Ain't no gal found in his mouth. Amen. I mean, nothing about him was wrong whatsoever. He never thought a wrong thought. He never said a wrong word. He never took a wrong step. He never did anything wrong. Everything about him was perfect and right. I say hallelujah. Thank God. This baptism, something about him that's different. I believe John the Baptist saw him coming and said, here he comes. Here he comes, something inside of him. And God, he knew something different about this man. He knew this one that he'd been preaching, he's a coming. And here he come to him to be baptized. And John didn't want to baptize him. He felt unworthy, unfit. How would you feel if the Son of God came to you and asked you to baptize him? And so he came for, and he came to be baptized of John, and he didn't sin, had no sin, had nothing about him. But Jesus said, and notice verse 15, Jesus said, suffer to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, man needed to be saved because of unrighteousness. Jesus said, it cometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I have kept the law. I have fulfilled everything. I am perfect. I am going to identify with ungodly men. You see, John's baptism was a preparatory baptism. Jesus is a promissory baptism. I promise you, I'm going to come and finish up the job. I promise you, I'm going to go to Calvary. I promise you, I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to set you free. He said, I promise you, I'm going to die, bury, and resurrect. And said, now, baptize me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's just making an open, open statement. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. And I'm going to raise from the dead. I say, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad he did what he said he's going to do. And thank God today, he's still saving sinners that'll come. Christian baptism has to do with what he did on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to try to pick up on that tonight when we baptize, right before we baptize. But I want you to notice John the Baptist's baptism. We need to learn from him. The preparatory for baptism is repentance, confessing sin, getting right. We learn from Jesus' baptism that the debt's been paid. It's finished. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what makes baptism real, and what we're going to do tonight, the Lord willing. If Jesus doesn't come and lets us come back to the house of God, we're going to get up there in that baptistry. And I want to get like a creek. I want to get like one of those old-fashioned river baptisms. People come in and get excited about it. We've got too used to baptizing. We've got too used to the fact somebody got saved. We've got too used to glory, hallelujah. Old Kyle come flying in here one Wednesday night after church. Said, I don't see the preacher. I didn't know where he was going to jump on me. I mean, he was in a rush to see the preacher. And he wanted to get saved. He didn't say anything about anything else except, preacher, I got to get saved. That's all he said. I need to talk to you. I want to get saved. I remember Joe Hill coming in here one night. Called me, and I came down here and got in the back. I got him in the office, and I said, Joe, sit down. He said, I can't sit down. I said, well, kneel down. Amen, we kneeled. He was ready to do business. Kyle was ready to do business. I tell you, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, got you under real conviction, and you realize you're lost without God, going to hell, and Jesus Christ can save you, it'll make you want to not sit down, not wait. You want to see the prayer. You want to get something done. Amen. And I say to you today, Jesus will save you if you'll let him. But let me say something else today before I finish and close out. Not only the baptism I've been talking about and Jesus dying and raising from the dead, is salvation real, but the joy is real. I mean, thank God he took all my sin. Amen. Nailed it to his cross. That song is sung around here a lot. It is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. Why is it well? Because it's all nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you don't enjoy being saved, and there's something in your life that's keeping away the joy, and something's bothering you, or something you need to confess, and something you need to get right with God, this is a good day to do it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to open the Word of God. Look at it and see the great truths that you give us. Lord, we realize the fact that you took these baptisms and worked up, showing us the preparation, then the promise of what was to be done and what was done. Now today, we can look unto Jesus and know the price has been paid. And Father, that salvation is ours in Jesus. There are those here today that have been saved, they've been born again, but they've never scripturally been baptized. They need to recognize that fact and truth. Father, no matter what happened before they got saved, it wasn't baptism. And I pray you'd help them to see that. Then, Lord, there's some here today that's been saved and baptized, but they've let things creep in their lives and their joy's not there. They're not really enjoying living for God and the truths of God's Word. And I pray the Holy Spirit do a work in their heart. Then some's never been saved. They're lost. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit bring conviction and draw them by your power. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.